It's Soul Asylum on Nobar 103.5 with Runaway Train. It's 1 minute past 12. Kathleen hanging out with me, with you. I get to hang out with me all the time. Best company ever. I'm loving it. My two friends in the studio, I've got David Bishop with me. He's in charge of Future Media News. And then I also have Hermine Lago. She's also a very well-known Namibian, very well-known inspirational speaker. And I know that she makes a big difference in a lot of people's lives when it comes to just being real, being authentic, and dealing with the stuff that's tough. Speaking of dealing with the stuff that is tough, I'm tired of being sad. And the amount of times that I've had this feeling, I don't want to be here anymore, I can't do this anymore, I just want out. The amount of times that I've felt that in my life, and I know Hermine and David as well, and that's why I asked them to come and speak to me today. It's been tough, guys. It has been tough. Hermine, I know that you said to me recently that in the last couple of weeks, you went through that again.
I did, and it's been more than a couple of weeks. This is the first time I just experienced severe depression, like for an extended amount of time. And for me, I think it was around about 4 months where I was just almost catatonic, you know, and it's really hard. It was really hard for me just to be able to do the things that should come easy to do, and also to explain why, you know, I'm tired all of the time and I'm sleepy all of the time, and, you know, constantly being asked, so what are the triggers? And I'm like, being alive, you know, and living through pandemics and uncertainty and inflation and the rising cost of living. It's that stuff. But then we always forget like the daily micro traumas, you know, that we face, you know, rejection letters or, you know, just, you know, friendship breakups and all of that kind of stuff. So all of that I feel maybe compounds, and it's really hard to point out a trigger, which can feel a little bit overwhelming. But then for me, there's also fighting off that shame of feeling like I should be able to function and I should be able to do these things because I'm a grown woman, but I'm just not capable of doing it.
David, how are you experiencing it, or how have you experienced it?
Well, I think it's pretty similar, and I definitely agree with the whole, you know, there's always that idea of you have to be able to look back and find something like what caused this, where does it all stem from? And there's, you know, there's not always a cause or something that you can highlight and say like, okay, that's the reason. Or there's also not something that you can sort of highlight and say, well, if I can fix that, then everything else will go away, because there isn't just one thing.
For me personally, depression has been something that I've lived with my entire life. I know that I was 16 years old when I tried to commit suicide, and I was in hospital the first time. And it's just people, so often people would say, but the person trying to commit suicide is so selfish. You're selfish. You're not thinking about anyone that you're leaving behind. But when you're in that moment, you don't think about that at all. You just think about getting out, about escaping.
I was talking to my therapist the other day actually on this, and basically saying it's in the book The Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace, and he talks about how he basically compares somebody who's going to kill themselves with someone who's trapped in a burning building, and they're saying that the person who's trapped in a burning building isn't any less scared of jumping out of that building, but when it gets to a point that they're more scared of that fire that they're willing to jump out of the building. And he says, you know, somebody standing on the ground looking up at the building saying, no, don't do it, don't jump, cannot understand the fear and that the person in the burning building is going through. And basically saying that is what that depression is that it's that the fear of the fire eventually overwhelms the fear of falling, and you know, the person then kills themselves and nobody can understand it. David Foster Wallace, of course, also killed himself. Monday is the anniversary of his death.
Sure. And now the high rates of suicides in Namibia, we all know that it's not that easy to get help. I know it's very expensive if you don't have medical aid. I mean, how did you help yourself? How do you get yourself out of that dark hole?
Okay, so a friend of mine and I hope I said that correctly. English. We actually created a resource. Her brother committed suicide or died by suicide last year. And so we created this resource that gives, you know, contact numbers for free therapists and those that are subsidized, because there are some that are subsidized. There are also some psychologists who take on a percentage of their clients pro bono. But usually that runs out so quickly because, you know, people are so desperate. Like, and if it's 5%, by the time the year started, that quota has already been filled. So I'm really, really grateful that I've got a lot of friends who are in psychological practice, but I also do know that your friends can't actually assist you in that way. So, and they'll tell you straight out that I'm not able to. So I think I always recognize my privilege in that I have, you know, the resources to be able to see somebody and to go talk to them, and somebody who can assist me, and just really getting those tools, you know. And I practice a lot of mindfulness, which also really does support me, and meditation and movement. But these are all tools that you acquire when you know that the resources are there, and not everybody knows that those resources are there and to guide you through. But I was telling, I think, you and David yesterday, even, or the day before, that at some point I felt that maybe I do need to go onto antidepressants. And the psychiatrist in Namibia that I was referred to, who is really, really great at what he does, the first consultation is something like $3,300 Namibian dollars. And not everybody has medical aid or even enough medical aid to be able to cover that, and that's just once off, and every time after that is about $2,000 Namibian, you sure. know. And it's no fault of the psychiatrist, but clearly it points to just access, and not everybody has that access. And I know some people who are seeing him who are like, I clear my bank account every single time, but it's that or not getting the help. And they were like, you know, without it, I really, really can't. So access is definitely an issue, and it's an issue for a lot of people. And we tend to think that, you know, middle class and everybody that we go to work with, you know, they've got that access. No, like, we are walking amongst people that we think can, and they really can't. And as a result, they just kind of like, I'll just will my way through it. But when with depression, you can't will your way through it. It's almost impossible. You know, you just can't. You need support. You need that additional, yeah. And sometimes people need medical intervention, and it's just a pity that it's not always accessible.
I know that the Windhoek Central Hospital's got a psychiatric unit as well, and where state patients can go and see psychologists. And that's maybe something to consider for someone who doesn't have medical aid, to actually make that effort. I know at one stage I felt so deep and down in that dark hole, and I realized that I need to make a plan here to get myself out. And the same is with you. I'm lucky enough to have medical aid, so I could go and see a psychologist. And I went on to antidepressants for a while. I also stopped taking them cold turkey, which is the worst thing you can ever do to yourself. I don't know if you guys have ever done that. Don't do that. Don't just take yourself. You need to be weaned off those. Mm-hmm. But for me, it worked to go onto the antidepressants just for a while I sort the other stuff out, trauma and things inside that hurt. So it was like a two-way street. It was the pills on the one side, and then actually going for counseling and speaking to someone about the things that's been making me sad. David, I know with men, you get so, men are, women, we talk. We talk about our feelings. It's easier for us to talk because boys have been told from when they are kids, boys don't cry, man up, be tough. That's not right. It's not right, because I teach my daughter, boys have feelings too. Mm-hmm. Boys have a heart too. They also get hurt. They also.
Yeah, and I mean, and I try to teach that to my son as well, and that it's okay to express his emotions, and it's okay to express his feelings. And I mean, he's probably in his, I mean, well, yeah, I think, trying to think of how many and if ever I saw my dad cry. Stephen has seen me cry on numerous occasions, and it's not a bad thing.
It's good
for him to see. You know, often, even if it's just if you're watching an emotional movie or something, and so he'll come up and he's very sweet about it, and he comes and gives me a hug and wants to comfort me. But yeah, I mean, there is that sort of joke, and you know, talking about, and the problem being is that, you know, more men commit suicide than women because we don't talk, because we think, you know, well, I'll just tough it out. I'll bottle it. I mean, and I've done it too. You know, I'm not trying to say that I'm any kind of special, like, uber evolved person. You know, I'll also think like I can just handle it myself. If I'll just get on my bicycle and I'll just like pedal away all the feelings and, you know, or just go out for a, sometimes you need to just go out for a walk. And it is, it's good and it's healthy, but you need to talk about things as well. You need to have that structure. And yeah, you know, it is a problem with us men. We think we can just bottle everything up and it'll go away, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And it comes out in different ways. I also think that that's often why we've got so much substance abuse and alcoholics trying to subdue those feelings. Now, David, what works for you? How do you get yourself out of that dark funk?
Well, the exercise is definitely, I mean, that to me, the exercise definitely helps. I mean, it helps that I enjoy cycling. But I mean, there's days where I know all I need to do is get on my bicycle and I'll feel better afterwards. But I can't get myself on my bicycle.
Oh, I know that feeling.
You know, it's so, the exercising helps. I don't drink anymore. I haven't drunk alcohol in, I think, over 2 years now. And I didn't quit because of the depression, but it definitely helps. Not drinking definitely helps with keeping the worst of the depression away. I've spoken about my therapist. You know, I go and see someone that I can speak to, that I can share things with. I mean, you've got your, like Hermine was saying, you've got your support structure, you've got your friends, you've got your family, but there's things that you don't want to have to, you know, burden them with or tell, okay, negative word, burden, share with them. Yeah, there's things that you need an external, impartial third party that you can say things to that you wouldn't want to say to your loved ones.
That's David Bishop of Future Media and he's talking to me. I also have Hermine Lago in studio. If you want to send us a message, you're more than welcome. 083-000-1035. And the three of us today, we're sharing our own experiences when it comes to depression and feeling suicidal. We're going to be back right now.
Spring has sprung.
It's Coldplay on Nova 103.5 with Fix You. It's 22 minutes past 12. Kathleen wat saam met jou kuier en ek het vir David Bishop en Hermine Lago saam met my in die atelier. En vandag gesels ons oor iets bietjie meer ernstig. With the high rates of suicides in the country, it really is a big problem, but it's also a very good thing that more and more people are openly starting to speak about it, to speak about their feelings and to speak about depression and feeling hopeless and not seeing a way out. From my own personal experience, I can tell you that even in the darkest days where I felt that nothing is going to make this better, I don't see a way out. The sun always shines again. The light always shines again and you always do feel better. But now when you're in that dark, David, what would you advise to someone if you knew, if someone's listening right now or you know one of your best friends is going through that and feeling that, what would you say to them?
I sort of did the recently. Someone was in a really dark place, and you feel like for me, you kind of feel useless or that you can't actually, you know. And I said to him, I'm like, you know, it. I know it sounds trite, but it gets better. And for a long, long time, I had actually put as my ringtone on my phone, fun. It gets better. And I mean, the message of the song wasn't to do with depression and suicide, but just the words. And every time my phone rang, I had this happy, it gets better. But I think one of the sort of maybe more or less trite suggestions is to find your why. To find that, you know, the whether it's a why to or a why not, you know, find the thing that you can hold on to. Find the thing that you know will keep you here. And I know, like for me, and that's my wife and my son, you know, and I mean my mom as well. Like when I've had really really dark times, and I just thought to myself, well, I can't do that to her, and that's enough of a why. Was just I can't do that to her. And you know, I could never do that to my wife and my son. And it's not, you know, that coming now cognizant of the fact that I'm not qualified to talk about these things, and I'm not, you know, somebody listening will say, well, yes, it can get that bad that even your why isn't enough. And hopefully you can go and get some help before it gets to that point. So, I've had conversations on social media, which is the worst place to have serious conversations. But I've had conversations with people where somebody comes and says, well, you know, someone who commits suicide is just selfish, or that, you know, they're just, or they're chicken, or they took the easy way out. And I've just said to them, just be grateful that you've never been in that position, because until you've been there, you'll never understand.
And Harmin, what would you, if somebody would contact you, if someone's listening right now and they're feeling like giving up, what would you say to them?
So I have to agree with everything David said. And I know that when you're in that space, you like just don't. It's really, really hard to hear anything, you know, but it really isn't today forever. It really isn't today forever. And that things do get better, even if it feels like they get worse first. And I think I would just say, you know, just this. A lot to be said for just hanging in there. And if it just hanging in there means you're lying on the couch and holding on for dear life, like, allow yourself, you know, to just be what it is that you are, and allow yourself those emotions without packing shame onto it. Like, you know, for me, I'm also like a recovering emotional eater, and I tend to eat a lot, and I just don't add shame to that. I'm just like, this is what's happening right now. And this is the one thing that almost alleviates the pain and the suffering for just a little bit. I'm also not a professional, so I would definitely say, if you can, talk to somebody, even if it means just going there and sitting and saying one word. And I was really, really lucky to have such amazing friends who would just come and sit with me in silence, literally, and do nothing. And in those moments, like, looking back now, I can see the value that I derived from that. Like, at the time, I was just kind of like, this is, you know, but it meant so much more to me than anything. So, thank you.
If you feel like that, if you're currently going through that, please, it's okay to not be okay. Reach out to someone, speak to people, speak to someone you trust, speak to someone close to you. Try and see if you can speak to a psychologist or a therapist. If you don't have medical aid and you can't see a private one, then go to the state hospital. They do have facilities that you can make use of, and you don't have to be alone in this. And that's basically what I wanted to show with my conversation today with David and Harmin. You'd be surprised how many people go through this. You'd be surprised by how many people wear this face every day looking like everything's okay, but deep down it's not.
And I just wanted to add that to that, because anyone, you know, in this room, and I know we all wear the masks and everything, but there are a lot of people out there that look like they've got it all together, and they look that they're like they're super happy, and you'll often look at them and think, well, why can't I just be like that? But you don't know what they're going through as well. And, you know, more people, I think, than we think are having a really, really tough time, increasingly so. So, you know, just be kind.
Yes, kind and compassionate, and even kindness and compassion for yourself. Thank you, Harmin Ilago. Thank you, David Bishop, for joining me in the studio today and being so open and honest about your feelings and what you've been going through. It's very important that we speak about it, that we normalize talking about it and getting help. We're going to get back to the music. It's Jamie Walters with Hold On, special for you. You're feeling like you're having a tough day today. It's going to be okay. We'll be okay. I don't wanna see